When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, hour number two, Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. 800-919-3776, the number. What did Mel Kiper say? What grades did he give out for the Jets and the Giants in the draft? That's coming up in about 10 minutes or so. We got so many calls, though, from Knicks fans who made a lot of noise over the weekend, especially in Philadelphia, so we're giving them a chance to crow a little bit. Let's continue. Ryan and Ridgewood, go.
How's it going, guys? You know, yesterday was probably one of my favorite days in recent memory. You know, we got probably the biggest Knicks win in I don't even know how long, and my older brother actually got engaged, so one of the better days I've had in, you know, recent memory. Thank you very much. Yeah, you know, the point I wanted to make today was I think that, you know, we don't have the most skilled guys, you know, in the league, but we definitely have the higher IQ guys on our squad. There are very few times where I see Brunson make a mistake. I don't want to jinx it and, you know, make him have a bad game or, you know, mess up and do some weird turnovers next game. But there are very few times where he, you know, throws the ball away. He's always, you know, finding his spot to get his shot off. And when he knows he's doubled, he gets the ball out of his hands real quick. I'm very optimistic about, you know, what's going on right now because we have, you know, guys like DiVincenzo on our team, Bogdanovich, I know he just got hurt a little bit, but these guys that really haven't snapped and really went off like they're able to and have done in the regular season, and we're still getting away up 3-1 on Philly. You know, it's really, really some encouraging stuff. I'm real pumped for the team. I think that, you know, aside from OG yesterday, with a few, you know, he kind of just ran at the basket a couple times going at Embiid trying to, you know, get him to play extra D, trying to tire him out. But aside from that, we had no bad IQ yesterday. And, you know, I feel like that's why we're getting ahead on these teams and that's why we're beating the Sixers right now.
Yeah, you're right about that part of it. And that's, yeah, again, it goes back to the Villanova Jay Wright stuff. They do take care of the basketball. Bart, if I told you that Brunson played just under 44 minutes of this game, right, that he took 34 shots and he had 10 assists, how many turnovers do you think he had in those just under 44 minutes of play?
I would think four to five.
He had one. Isn't that amazing?
And then you talk about the IQ. That was the difference in the end of the game. The Philly didn't seem organized, right. Got rushed into some late shots. You look at that shot that got blocked by Achiuwa. He could take off and jump because he knew Embiid had to let it go because the shot clock was over. And then when Brunson kind of lulled them to sleep, and went through the middle of the lane like, aha, I'm not wasting time. Let me get this bucket. Ha ha. And they were looking like, yo, what the – who? I thought he was dribbling out. Like, nope.
Nope. Yeah, that part, I mean, and how about this? Lowry goes to the free throw line. He made the first, and he was going to purposely miss the second, didn't, you know, to get the ball because they were down, like, it was five, right?
Yeah.
So the fact that he misses and nobody knew he was missing it, two guards weren't even on, yeah, the line.
Maxie,
they were out by, yeah, half court. Like,
and the crazy thing, is, you read his lips, he was like, he looked right to Nurse, like, miss it.
Yeah.
And like yeah, amazing. You might want to relate a play to everybody else, bro.
Like, what did you call that? What is it called? Pineapple or something? That's a play. Yeah, like, what, yeah, is that called when everybody knows you fall down and pretend?
Yeah, crab.
Crab, whatever.
Lobster.
That's what it was. I don't know why I thought pineapple, but whatever. So, like, that should be
our safe word. That,
why would you tell the people our safe word? But that should have been something that you just yell out, and everybody knows. Purposely miss free throw. Everybody get to their spots. You know, whatever you want to yell out. But that didn't happen there. Poorly organized. And, again, the Knicks do play. Like, everybody makes mistakes. You're going to see bad passes and stuff. But for the most part, this is a relatively smart team. And
then they're
going
to beat themselves. Then they're going to beat themselves.
And you never want to do that. Jay in Queens, what's up, Jay?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Yeah, really excited about the game and the way the Knicks played. That next man up mentality is really holding true. I was glad, you know, being from a coaching background, that Tibbs gave Precious Achiuwa that pretty much that whole fourth quarter, considering that Hartenstein picked up those five fouls. He stayed with them after the missed layup, after the dunk, after the block. He let him kind of play that timeout in the crucial minutes of the game, and I think that's going to bode well for them moving forward. And the other thing now with Phoenix going out, because I called you guys before, which I felt Phoenix would make an early exit, and with the summer coming up, I know we have a star with Brunson, but now who's that second guy? Do we stay with Randall, or do we try to get like a Bridges or a Booker or somebody like that? Thank
it's
you, guys.
Be names.
And, I'm looking forward to. Yeah, I'm looking forward to Phoenix and the Rangers. Yeah, take care, guys.
You got it. I mean, I think this summer there's going to be names. And the temptation is going to be there. And if they are to make a move, what's the right move? That's going to be – and I don't want to talk about it now. I think we wait till the offseason. But I've told everybody this. I keep saying this. This summer, there's going to be some movement. It's going to be seismic. And it's not going to be a lot of names. But there's going to be a couple of seismic moves. And are the Knicks going to be part of it? That's certainly the question to answer. And we can't answer that until we get to the summer. Ben, and now is this Ben from Holy Cross? We heard from your mom last week.
Yes, it is. Thank you so much for the birthday wish last week. I really appreciate it. Meaning a lot. It's my favorite talk show host.
All right. So did you have the drink with mom for your 21st
Absolutely.
Birthday?
Absolutely.
And she already told us it wasn't your daiquiri? First.
I'm sorry.
What was it? A Zima or a strawberry daiquiri? Zima. Bottles and James.
I don't even remember what it was, but it was really sweet. It was too sweet for me.
Oh, wow. Now,
she gave you a fuzzy label.
She told us already, though, it wasn't your first drink, right? Like, she's already aware that even though you turned 21, you might have had
a drink. She's aware. Yeah. She's aware. Attaboy. Yeah, but I want to just get into talking about this game because it makes me emotional. As a longtime fan, you know, we've seen, like, look at the point guards we've gone through over the last, like, 15 years. Tony Douglas, Shane Larkin, Jared Jack for a year, Frank Ntilikina, and now we have the steady guy in Jalen Brunson, people say he's too small, not athletic enough. He's shutting them all up. And Joel Embiid, you know, poked the bear with that cheap shot, and he could have talked him up more, but he just said, don't do that. And he just goes in, dropped almost a 50-piece with 10 assists in Philadelphia in a raucous environment. Like,
right.
I just don't. It's amazing what this guy has done for the franchise and how it's completely changed, like, the culture of the team.
That's literally what I think the best way to describe that is, since he arrived, there has been a culture shift that is undeniable. The addition of Hart and DiVincenzo have allowed him also to kind of take that centerpiece in the locker room. Okay, we're a clique, and you're either in or you're out. And more people kind of got drawn to those three guys. And Ben, that's the best observation you can make about Brunson and his impact. It's sure, the scoring is great and all that stuff, but it is the culture thing. And there's now a standard and identity about this team, along with Tom Thibodeau, that precedes them everywhere they go. It's undeniable. And in games like that you saw, the one thing that you can't argue with is that when they are in these games, it's so easy to go, oh, they're not winning that game. They're not winning this game. And then they do, because this is not – like, Ben, you're still young. These are not your father's Knicks. These aren't. Like, these are not – they're not those Knicks that were early 2000s. This is – well, maybe they are your father's Knicks, because I guess your dad might be my age. Like it's these are a different standard of Knicks that go back even before – these are my father's Knicks, because even the 90s Knicks didn't really have this. And that's the difference I'm seeing, is it's the IQ – it is a culture that is really noticeable, that star player that is humble, that doesn't need to be, you know, you need to talk about me. The first thing he'll talk about is things he did wrong. I got to be better, all those things. Like, this is something that the guys who were around to see Walt Clyde Frazier's Knicks that I wasn't able to see, they say that's what this was like. The likable team, easy to enjoy, easy to like. Like, I've had people like that I've run, even today, like, I'm not really a Knicks fan, but I just love watching this team play. I'm not a Knicks fan, but I love watching that team play. I got a text from a friend of mine who's in Indianapolis, and he just said, I just love watching that team play. And that's what it's about. All right, one more here, and we'll get into the NFL. Steven in Greenberg. Steven. All right, it's time to talk football then. 800-919-3776. We'll certainly talk more Knicks later on in the show. But Bart, as we just look, as we put a bow on the NFL draft, Mel Kiper put out his grades for all the teams in the league. And there were a lot of A's, and there were some even A minuses. There were some B pluses. The New York teams, if you were going to give a grade, let me see if you get the same thing that Mel did. Give me a grade for the Giants. Overall draft.
Yeah, I would give the Giants like a I would give them a B plus.
A B plus. Okay.
Yeah.
He went with a B. And he said that the question, of course, was, and this is what Mike Tannenbaum was against, you know, would they take a quarterback at six? J.J. McCarthy was available. They did not. They went with Malik Nabers instead. They did have a need for a wide receiver. And so now they're giving Daniel Jones, a talented player, obviously, but they did not get Daniel Jones's replacement. So that, of course, is something to watch. They also get, let's see, he said that Tyler Newbin, who they took in the second round.
The number one best safety he was the best safety in the draft.
Okay, he said he had other safeties ahead of him.
Hell no.
But he said you can't deny his playmaking ability.
Hell no.
Drew Phillips, late riser, they took him at 70th, played a lot of slot coverage, and then with Darren Waller's future up in the air, he liked Theo Johnson, taken early in day three, a tight end there. He said he was my fourth-ranked tight end of this class. So that's what the Giants did. Those are the picks that stood out to him. And, you know, again, getting Nabers and not getting a quarterback at all in this draft. Do you feel like that there was a missed opportunity there for Joe Shane?
Not at all, because you think about everybody past J.J. McCarthy were whether you talk about Rittler or, you know, whatever you want to talk about. Like, once you got past J.J. McCarthy – nobody saw those guys as starters or potential future stars. Even when you think about Jordan Travis, like, he's a guy that's going to be a developmental guy that you hope in 2 years he may play. If you're talking about drafting somebody that's going to replace Daniel Jones, then you're saying he got to be ready to play and start and play high-end football for you next year, because that's the year where you have the opportunity to get out of that contract.
Were going to go in the second round, Bo Nix was already gone. Right? Like, you know, Penix was gone.
Right, that's what
Nobody
I'm saying.
Nobody saw that coming.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I'm talking about.
Right.
So, in my opinion, to move back or to do whatever to get a guy like Bo Nix isn't answering your problem. We'll see if Denver is able to figure that out, if that's the type of guy that Sean Payton is looking for. But clearly, if it wasn't going to be you know, Drake May, which they desperately tried to move up.
Yeah, they wanted him.
If it wasn't clearly going to be him, then they didn't have an evaluation. And that's fine, because not everybody has the same evaluation on the same quarterbacks, like where it looks like Denver was ecstatic to get Bo Nix, right? Talking about he knocked it out of the park, he came in. He's what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Every offensive system is not the same. For what Daboll wants his quarterback to do, they didn't have that. So now you got arguably, and it's going to be debatable, the best receiver in the draft. Some people are Marvin Harris fans. Some people are Doomsday fans. Mm-hmm. Some people are Nabers fans. Like, as far as who can be the best guy coming out of this class, right? Just because you pick before somebody don't mean that you're better than them,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And environments matter. And the Giants desperately needed, whoever's playing quarterback, they desperately needed a true number one that can set the defense, and they got that. And, you know, losing McKinney was big for them, and we knew that they desperately needed a young safety. And this guy is a guy that can come in and play the first year. He's a guy that, you know, is a huge playmaker. And in my opinion, he was the best safety out there. You know what I mean? You talk about 13 interceptions. Come on, man. Like, this is a guy that plays big-time football. He's a guy
at
that
Minnesota,
gets the handle,
right?
Ball.
It's Big 12, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Big 10.
A Big Ten, I'm sorry.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we talking about, you know, I forgot his coach name, but his coach was a big time coach as well.
Aren't they like the Big 30 at this point? Like, that conference has got so many teams in it. But yeah, yes.
Big 30 is like the Big Ten, because they got three different divisions. They got the West Coast Conference, the Midwest Conference,
but
and the East Coast
Conference. If you think about it, in the second and third round, they address safety and corner, right?
Yeah, and tight end.
As far as that goes, right? And then tight end in the fourth round, right?
This guy, Theo Johnson, runs good routes. You know what I'm saying? He's a guy that can play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
So let me ask you this then. With the Nabers pick, All right. So now it's pretty much, you know, you're locked into Daniel Jones for the year with Drew Lock, speaking of Lock, as your backup. I guess that Tommy Cutlet stays as your third quarterback, right? Like, is that what they're going to do?
You got Drew Lock. Drew Lock is a guy that's
started. Drew Lock's your backup, right? Like, yeah, he's there too.
Yeah, he's safe for this for right now.
Yeah. Now
it'd be other opportunities next year to do what you want. Who knows? Maybe you trade for Kirk Cousins.
Now, Neighbors comes in, and he's from LSU, and I'm wondering, because I saw this somewhere. Would the Giants think about bringing in Odell? Bring him back?
I would.
No.
What is he offering you? This dude had 35 receptions last year. You know he's going
to
come.
He doesn't need to be a main piece, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, but he also got paid $18 million last year.
Yeah, you know, he's not but getting 30, that.
For,
though, right? 30,
for 35 receptions.
But he's not going to get that kind. I'm not giving him for cheap?
I'm not giving him 10. I'm not giving you no lifetime achievement award.
Okay.
It's what can you do for me now? And I think I'd much rather go with a guy who got a lot more juice left, like Tyler Boyd, who I could probably get for $10 million than to go get Odell Beckham.
There's that. I mean, you got to get Jalen Hyatt healthy, right? Slayton healthy. And then Wandell Robinson is somebody that you like – they have those guys, right? I guess Hyatt, you still got to figure out. Is he – because he was second round last year, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, if Corey Davis is coming off the retirement list, hell, I give Corey Davis a big deep threat.
You think that helps you? The Waller thing is really out there, but receiver-wise, again, you're looking for a playmaker. You need playmakers. Otherwise, Daniel Jones, it doesn't matter if he's healthy or not, right?
Yeah, Tyler Boyd is a tremendous slot receiver next to Neighbors.
So you see them kind of going that route instead?
I'll go Tyler Boyd if I can get him on a 1-year deal.
Okay.
Also, you know, I'm not beyond giving you next year's 2 for Brandon Ayuk.
That's still out there, I know.
Debo, listen, they drafted Parcells.
They have talked about how that something's got to get settled
after
there.
After June 2nd, mm-hmm. Then I think the dead money and all that type of stuff changes on Debo's contract. Still owe $21 million, but $21 million is a lot cheaper than the 30 that all these new guys are getting.
All right, on the Jets side of things now, what grade do you think the Jets would have gotten from Mel Kiper? What would you give them?
I would give them a B+.
Okay, they also got a B. And so it's close, all right? But what he said as far as for Joe Douglas, remember, Kiper was all about Brock Bowers. He was all about the tight end, and he felt like, you know, doing that and getting talent right now in the short window with Aaron Rodgers, he felt like that was the right thing to do. He said, that's why I thought offensive tackle might be a tough sell to Rodgers and to fans at number 10. He felt like they already got Tyron Smith. They already got Morgan Moses.
Yeah, until Tyron Smith gets hurt like he's been the last 5 years, and then now you're sitting up there with a turn stopping and Carter Warren or somebody there, and you're like, oh, man, we can't get plays down the field. Everything has to be three-step because they can't block anybody. At least this gives me a guy that's going to mean that if depth. Tyron Smith goes down, right. I ain't got to go say, hey, Vera Tucker, can you go play left tackle? I ain't got time.
But I think we all agree with that. I think Mel misunderstands the fans because I don't know many fans that would have wanted a skill player over tackle depth.
Once you got Mike Williams, you should have all the talent. You got enough talent.
Okay.
So Aaron Rodgers has done way more with less.
I also feel good about the fact that because it kind of tells you they weren't listening to him this time around, right?
Yeah, like
they did what they wanted to do. So Olufashinu is somebody that is expected that he could eventually replace Tyron Smith. He can learn from him, which is helpful. And also, again, and what he said was he could be a stellar player at a premium position for a decade. Now, after that, because we talked about it on Friday, so let's move on to the rest of the draft for them. Malachi Corley is somebody that everybody, and I'm not going to pretend I know him, but third round out of Western Kentucky, and mm-hmm. a wide receiver that apparently is a yards after catch guy that makes people look stupid.
They call him a yak daddy.
Yeah. And so they get him, and you add that, of course, if you're Aaron Rodgers, you know you can do with a guy like that, right? That's an easy fit.
Well, we thought we were going to be putting Garrett Wilson in the slot.
Okay.
But now this guy's, you know, really a slot receiver. He's a guy kind of like Ross St. Brown who gets over routes and gets busy doing that.
What about Subart with the changes?
He's 215 pounds.
With the changes to the kickoff rules, could this guy also be?
I mean, I still got Gibson.
Dynamic?
I still got Gibson. I'll give him a shot. He didn't.
But
do
if
that
this guy
college.
Makes people miss, he probably could be a weapon in that. No.
Well, that's different, right? That's different, right? Then when you got everybody trying to attack you and they all in front of you, opposed to playing a receiver. But what he does give you, he gives them that Deebo Samuels type player. Right, you talk about a guy that's going to run through tackles. He's mm-hmm. you're going to give him the ball on the move in the slot, screens, jet sweeps, things of that sort. So like I say, he's 215 pounds. That's 5'10". That's a running back. Now, there's a lot of running backs that have come out this year that's 215, but he's a receiver. Right. So you get him in there. Now you got some little nickel at 190 trying to tackle him, and he's outweighing him by 25 pounds, and he still can run. I think he's like a 4.5, right? So he's not like a blazer. Like a low 4.5, so right. He's a guy that you're going to get a ball in, like Deebo Samuels, and who knows Deebo Samuels and what he brought to that offense better than Robert Saleh.
And now, before we get to the player you predicted, which is an interesting thing, we'll get to Jordan Travis momentarily. But in the fourth round and the fifth round, the Jets took two running backs.
Yep,
Braylon Allen from Wisconsin and Isaiah Davis from South Dakota State.
Yeah.
Why two running backs when you already have Izzy Abanaconda
on the
roster after Breece Hall?
Right, because you got a speed guy. So now if Breece goes down, you want to give Izzy some of those type of carries. Okay, so now you go out and you get a short yardage back. How many times do we see the Jets in short yardage get stopped because they weren't in power eye or they were in shotgun? Right, where it's like a zone read type of thing, opposed to now you think about Braylon Allen, like this guy that's 245 pounds working out with King Henry. He's a guy that was like dominated his first 2 years. He's only 20 years old because
he's working out with
King Henry. He's big like that. Like he's working out with a guy that's his comp. This dude's 245 pounds, right? So you talk about a guy that's 245 pounds and now. Like, at Wisconsin, his first 2 years, he killed the Big Ten. And then they got a new offensive coordinator, and they kind of went to a zone read, which is a little different from what his skill set is. This allows the Jets – just think what the Jets have done from a offensive line standpoint. Tyron Smith is a guy that fires off, moves people against their will. Mm-hmm. The Smith kid played for Baltimore. He's a guy that pulls and knocks people off their feet. Vera Tucker's a guy, his first year with Becton, he was pulling, and that's why everybody saw how special he was. And then you have Morgan Moses, who's a guy that likes to play. He just came from Baltimore, where their gap scheme downhill. Like this is the type of scheme that you would hope Becton would be in. Like so, when you got a guy like that, that's a big guy like that. Now you're talking about double teaming pulls. All right, yeah, come up and keep hitting this 245. Right, so now they're building this team to play from a lead because now they got they got closers. We already know Breece Hall is a closer, but I don't want Breece Hall going down there getting 2 yards in a cloud of dust and getting his brain cells knocked scrambled. I'd much rather take this young guy 250 and let him do it, or let the other guy who's only 222, but he's 6'1", 222. That's big as hell for a running back too, and he plays. And his style is downhill in between the tackles and knocking his head off and running guys over. So now you have two short yardage guys and two speed guys. So if somebody gets hurt, then you don't have to change and try to figure out how you're going to get those tough yards and change your offense. So I really like it. And also it builds a lot of competition within that room.
Okay.
Because now Izzy's like, yo, if Izzy can't pick up third down or play action pass protection – all right, okay. We're gonna go here.
Let's get to Jordan Travis then, the quarterback from Florida State that obviously celebrated Heisman Trophy candidate, that had that tragic accident where in the game where the ankle is shattered. He still hasn't been cleared for football activities yet, so he's still fighting his way back to get on the field. The Jets trade up to get into the fifth round to make this pick and bring him in. You had said you'd brought that name up many times that the Jets are interested. They want to bring him in. What is this basically? Bring him in, stash him, and hope that once he finally gets healthy, that he can be maybe you can groom him into being the quarterback of the future.
Yeah, you're hoping in 2 years because guess what? He would have probably been like after J.J. McCarthy. Who knows? Maybe it wouldn't be such thing as a J.J. McCarthy, because if this guy, his team was undefeated, he would have been in the playoffs, and he would have been going against these guys, and they had just as good of a chance being undefeated to beat anybody and win that championship, and it would have been all about him, not J.J. McCarthy.
Okay.
This could have easily been about Jordan Travis.
But where he is right now, look, before the injury, I mean, like I said, he was a Heisman Trophy candidate. He broke all kinds of records, most touchdowns in school history, most yards in total offense. Two touchdown passes, only two interceptions.
Right, he doesn't throw picks.
An absolute playmaker, dual threat kind of guy.
Yeah, he's had seven rushing touchdowns every year he was in school.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a guy that you can count on using his legs to get you touchdowns too. Seven. But he's not a guy that's going to abandon the run. He's not like Jaden Daniels that you're going to scheme up, like runs for him. He's a guy that's going to run based on what the defense dictates.
Okay.
He's not the biggest guy, but he's like 6'2", 212. And he's a guy, you know, and what better place to learn than from Aaron Rodgers and Tyrod Taylor?
Well, of course.
He can come in and there's no pressure on him, and he can just learn and maybe be like one of those guys. Because remember, Tyrod Taylor was a backup for Joe Flacco for years, and then he got his start in Buffalo, where he got an opportunity to be a starting quarterback. You know, he'll have the opportunity, as Aaron Rodgers decides to ride off to the sunset, potentially to be that guy. So I give the Jets a lot of credit for being able to identify this guy, and I've been saying it, because sometimes when guys get injured, you got the chance to be able to wait where other teams can't wait.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Because they need their backup or their third or second guy to be able to play.
You don't need him ready for at least a year. Like,
he's
gonna
get a
rest to be – right. And that's the only problem there is, of course, is because last year we saw them use four quarterbacks. So you're going to need a third quarterback. He might have to – be somebody. I don't know how you do
you
it.
Can,
but
you can play with him on a practice squad.
Yeah, other people can.
He's not clear. He's not clear, so you can keep him on a pup list forever.
He hasn't. No scouting combines, no pro days, no nothing, because the injury won't let him on the field. Right. So, here's the interesting thing here, is that even Joe Douglas said, obviously that was a tough injury, but we feel good that he'll be able to come back at some point this year.
Yeah.
At some point, training camp is in July, and so. You know, he's barely going to get any time before the season starts.
Mm-hmm.
But this is definitely one of those draft and stash situations
that
let him learn, let him watch.
Like James Williams.
Yeah, well, not even like that. I'm talking about like just to watch, be in the NFL, see it all before you even have the pressure of having to play.
Yeah.
And maybe it'll help him. We'll see. But it's a very interesting pick, and it's one you certainly predicted. All right, we went late on that. All right, so we have calls. We'll continue with those, of course, but you know what's coming up. It's audio files and what they're saying, whether it's the Knicks or the Rangers, as our winter teams are advancing in the playoffs. The Knicks trying to get to the second round if they get a win tomorrow, but they are one win away. The Rangers already there. All that, the NBA playoffs, and more. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. Well, it was a critical game four on the road, although maybe you didn't realize I was on the road listening to the reaction of Knicks fans yesterday down in Philadelphia. Knicks get the win down in Philly. And earlier this morning on DPH and Rothenberg, Rick and Dave both agreed that the Sixers fans allowing the Knicks to overtake their building was embarrassing.
What an embarrassment. This is not, you know, Florida, where it's like, ugh, you know, it's just not great fans. This is Philadelphia. They pride themselves on their fandom. That was a huge game for Philadelphia. And you look around that arena, and there's more Knicks fans than 76ers fans. That's embarrassing for them. I don't think they ever get up from this.
Going into a game four, you just won game three. Joel Embiid was great, right? I mean, you go down 3-1 all of a sudden, heading back to Madison Square Garden, you don't love your chances. And you had that kind of contingency of Knicks fans take over.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael K. Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
That's taking me back.
And I've heard this one.
I know, right? Tom, where'd you find this?
Off of the good old YouTube. Trying to just play some new stuff.
I like this. This is from like 1987.
I play breakdance.
Right? It feels like it's like from, you know, Breaking 2, Electric Boogaloo. Anyways.
Bing, bow.
It's definitely like popping and locking. Definitely something like that. All right, your call's at 800-919-3776. But right now, Bart Scott, it's time for us to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking. In this segment, we like to call
Audio 5.
The audio file.
I tell you what, Bart, this is your guy, Ant-Man.
Yeah, it's me.
Did you see the dunk that was like the kind of like the exclamation point on a sweep that Minnesota put on the Phoenix Suns yesterday? Oh, where yeah. He just blew right by Beal, carried him to the rim, and then dunked over KD in a Jordan-esque type of a dunk.
Homer bricks.
It was pretty special. Karl Anthony Towns sitting with Anthony Edwards after this game. We're going to this now because we don't know who it's going to be next, but how about face of the league for Ant-Man?
Nah, not yet, man. Not yet. Yeah, not yet.
He a young star. He over here talking like that shit. He the face of the league. I've been saying that. He hate when I say it, but it's true. Like I said, future's so bright, I got to put the sunglasses on most of the time when I'm walking around with him.
I can't. It's hard to deny that Anthony Edwards might be creeping closer and closer to that status.
He's past Tatum.
Yeah, you know what? Here's why.
Because it's not just talent.
Yeah, there is charisma. And I've told people this that don't understand it when they argue that Jokic is the face of the league. And it's like, no, he's the best player in the league, but he's not the face.
Yeah,
he doesn't have that. This guy's got it.
To be able to sell the game, to be able to sell everything.
Yes. That's draw eyeballs
has.
To
he,
it,
he,
right.
He gets it. He understands the entertainment value of it. And it's not like he's sitting up here. He don't disrespect the veterans. You know, KD's my hero, but I'm about to go at him. He's going to have to deal with me.
And I think that's respectful when you go at a superstar like that, right? Like, yeah. I don't think that's being disrespectful.
It's
saying, I'm getting to your level. That's a big deal. All right, another player in the league that could be a face but has not gotten there yet is Luka Doncic. And this series between the Mavericks and the Clippers has been pretty special because it's kind of gone back and forth. And you've got a lot of star power in this series. You know, Harden, Paul George had an unbelievable game yesterday. Kawhi Leonard missed another one, though. That's the one caveat, is that Kawhi's knee could be the difference here. But the Clippers hold on for a 116-111 win to now make it a 2-2 in this series. They blew a 31-point lead because Kyrie Irving was unbelievable. Like, poetic, incredible. Like, Kyrie as a player is something special to watch. Luka had a triple-double, but he did not have a great game. He was 1-for-9 from three. He was dealing with a sore knee, didn't play well. And how about this from Doncic when he talks about what he has to do more.
Yeah, I just gotta help him more. I feel like I'm letting him down, so I gotta be there. I gotta help him more. He's given everything that he has, and he's been amazing for us the whole series.
What do you think of what Luka's saying there about Kyrie, about how I've got to do more to help him?
Yeah, man, he can't have these laws in the action. That needs to be something that Kyrie can count on. When you talk about Kyrie going to the basket amongst the trees, finishing over three players, man, he's one of the best finishers, man, of all in basketball history, man.
Kyrie is special to watch. He's special to watch. And we've had issues with him on other things when he was in Brooklyn, but as a basketball player, he's special.
Hey, now,
back to the Mavericks. And I'm not Mavericks. The Timberwolves and the Suns series. So the Suns are swept out of the first round. They're gone now. The big three: Beal, Booker, KD, out. They were minus 51 when they were on the court together. Minus 51. So of course now there's all kinds of seasons over retrospectives and everything else. So KD. What's important for next season?
Continuity is important. All the great teams in the league thus far has been together for 2-3 years. Minnesota's, Denver's, Boston's, the Lakers, OKC's. Like, a lot of teams have been together for a few years, so I'm looking forward to building.
Building? How are you going to build? You ain't got no money.
That's the problem. Capped out. Man, locked up.
You going to keep building, going to the clearance aisle?
$150 million for three players. There's not many rosters that are built on $150 million. So how about this little – and I think this is a fair answer from KD when asked by a reporter about, you know, why did this happen?
What specifically, why was there
– I won't go into specifics because, I mean, that's stuff that we'll talk about. And like I said, I don't want to be up here making excuses for what happened. So we just deal with it and we'll figure it out as a family moving forward.
I think it's fair to say that because, you know, if he starts pointing to things, people will start calling them excuses. So like I'm not going to
like Devin Booker.
Devin Booker said it was attention to detail, which is calling out coaching.
Basically, that's what it sounds like to me.
Right?
Because if it's about execution, y'all the players that's executing, y'all three.
But he's talking about like how in the playoffs it's all about details and we don't focus enough on it, which is basically like, oh, yeah, our coaching staff gives us a scouting report and we're just like, yeah, we don't pay attention to it.
I mean, you don't respect it. You beat this team,
three times in the regular season. Yeah. So, but the Booker thing is interesting because here's Stephen A. on First Take about Devin Booker.
From what I'm being told, I don't know if it'll ever happen. Devin Booker wants to be in New York. That's what I'm being told. Now, he might deny it. I haven't spoken to him.
Right.
I'm just telling you, the scuttlebutt in the NBA circles is that brother want to be in New York.
He want to be in New York.
Okay. So if you're Phoenix, you got at least two people, probably three, who all getting paid about $150 million combined, don't want to be there.
Two or three, because KD is another one.
Bradley's so I gave, happy to get out I,
so
of Washington.
Again, all right, so earlier in the show, Bart, I gave you a list of names, right? I said KD, Booker, Giannis, Donovan Mitchell, Paul George, Joel Embiid. And I said you got to take – all of them could come to New York – only one of them can come, and you got to eliminate one at a time. Vote him off the island. You've already sent Donovan Mitchell off the island, so he's gone. Now take another one off the list.
I'm going to take Devin Booker because I don't think there's no way that if they got to build around somebody. Don't you want to build around the youngest one and the one you drafted?
So you're taking him off the list. All right, so he's gone too. All right, so interesting names that are still available. Meanwhile, while all this stuff is going on with the Knicks and their – taking a 3-1 series lead, winning game four in Philadelphia in the fashion that they did, with Jalen Brunson just having an epic win and setting a franchise record of 47 points and asked if he can really enjoy it.
I look back when I retire. Seriously, it's great right now. It helped us get a win, but it's not going to do anything for us going forward.
What a mentality, right?
Yeah, man.
The exact right thing to say there. It's nice, but we got more to do.
The captain right there, baby.
Yeah, that's the right way to speak. So he does all that. Meanwhile, down in D.C., the Rangers get the sweep over the Washington Capitals. And so they now move into the second round. And it has really been, for the Rangers, 5-on-5 is one thing, but their power play, you put them on the power play at your own peril. I mean, they really are something special when it comes to that. Here's Peter Laviolette.
Well, I mean, I don't think we pulled something
This was. I mean, the whole season has been a work to try and get ready to, you know, go into the first series and the first game. The special teams has been really strong the entire year. There's a little bit of a lull, you know, in the middle, but not that much. And it was, the power play was firing down the end of the season. The penalty kill has been on point. And so special teams, we talk about it all the time. I mean, it factors so much into a game. It factors into a series. And you're going to need, you know, excellent performances from both in order to keep moving along.
It just seems like when the Rangers, when they got one, the momentum for them offensively just took over from there. But they have proven that late in the year, and they proved it in this series against the Capitals. Don't put them on the power play. You just can't afford to. And they make you pay. And so, I mean, probably Carolina, right? But
yeah,
they had some time off now, and maybe the Islanders can help them out by winning another game and extending that series a little bit longer than expected. But still, exciting to see the Rangers. And the President's Trophy winner doesn't have that first-round curse.
Right.
You don't have to worry about that. All right.
It's a heavy, heavy, heavy cross to bear, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, not that I don't think they're the favorite, but, you know, people use that as a little extra to get up for you. Like, President Cup winner. Okay, I got you.
Well, it's just, there's something that's weird about it, too, that the way things have gone for teams. But that is Audio Files. 800-919-3776 is the number. We'll get back to your calls and more coming up. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN. But I have for you, Bart Scott, and everybody listening, something to tell you. Dingers. You know dingers, right? Blasts, moonshots, whatever you call them. Everyone loves home runs. Aaron Judge had one. Did you see that monster shot yesterday? Oh, my God. With FanDuel's Dinger Tuesdays. Yeah, Dinger Tuesdays. You can love them even more. That's right. Dinger Tuesdays are back for another season on America's number one sportsbook. Just bet on a player to homer, and FanDuel will give you $5 in bonus bets for every home run hit during that game. As if you need another reason to love the long ball, visit FanDuel.com/Allen to get in on the Dinger Tuesday action. That's FanDuel.com/Allen. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. 21 or older and physically present in New York. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max bonus $25 per game. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, Barton Hahn, we got to hear from Tessa and Wes Caldwell. What's up, Tess?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. You nervous?
Thanks so much for taking
LeBron?
My call. So before I even just get into my points, I just want to say something really quick. So we know how much Bart is a hater. He hates LeBron. And he talks about his hair all the time, his hairline. Listen, I don't want her to mention nothing about LeBron's hairline unless in the same sentence he talks about KD's expired taco meat ball spot and hairline. I just kept focusing on it. I kept focusing on it when I was watching the game. So I was in my mind like, why doesn't Bart ever say nothing about KD? That's because we know that Bart loves him, but he can't do it. Bart, you can't do it. His hair looks disgusting. I was
on KD first. You'll remember on air when I asked Jay Will to ask Kevin Durant why he looked like Forrest Whitaker.
That was a while ago. Let's go on yesterday's game. No, like, let's talk about it. You be hating on LeBron 24/7.
No, I was on KD first. I even put Jay Will on the spot who works for him.
Didn't you say it was like a
I told him he looked like Forrest Whitaker.
I'm just saying, why can't he just get a brush, guys? Just get a brush.
No,
get
it don't matter because
it don't matter
because if he brush it, it's still he got the Forrest Whitaker scalp.
wait, Bart, didn't you once say it was like when you peel back?
You peel back the Reese's cup. LeBron is when you pull back the pepperoni.
He needs a fake hat plus a bonnet plus he needs, I don't know, like he needs the blackout stuff they put in there. Like
he don't even care.
Done,
do that. He don't even care. He got the hair like Forrest Whitaker. You know how Forrest Whitaker's scalp, if he ever grow it out, is like that. So I used to tease Jay Will about that. He's like, man, Barty, you ain't gonna get me fired.
Yeah, Jay Will's
I'm just disgusted, but I had to talk about it. But I just want to say today's such a happy day we get to celebrate as a family. You know, my Lakers won, Yankees won, Knicks won, Rangers won. It's just such a happy Monday. I mean, tomorrow I might be like sniffling, crying in a corner. However, I'm gonna focus all on today and what we did today. I'm just so happy. I mean, I'm just saying, you gotta admit, LeBron is like 206 years old. How he blocked that shot. Like, I don't know. He was just playing out of his mind yesterday. Like, I just think that we do have a shot today if they play the same exact way.
Well, Jamal
like,
Murray's not playing.
Quarter to quarter.
If Jamal Murray's not playing, I would favor the Lakers. The Lakers figure something out and giving LeBron the baseline run spot, which gives them better action at the top of the key, which allows LeBron, who's a high-rise finisher, you know, they kind of compare it to what Gordon does with Jokic. He kind of runs the baseline, and when you collapse and you come around the pick and roll, the big man shows up. Now you got LeBron getting a dunk, Gordon getting a dunk. It's easy points and puts a lot of pressure on the defense.
And you see, we flustered Joker. I haven't seen him that mad in a very long time. He was wilding on that side, on the bench. He was wilding. So I feel like now we could get under their skin. So I feel like it's possible to win tonight. So I really do feel like that. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to give the Giants, I'm going to give them a B+, maybe /A-. I really am happy with everything they did. I really would have preferred them to try to get a lineman. There's nothing wrong with getting the big Holly Moggs up there. Like, you can't never have too many linemen, especially how hours go down.
But they paid for two in free agency. Like, how many linemen you want to get? They drafted two in the first round of the last 2 years.
Yeah.
They drafted, you know, but one last year.
We've been rebuilding the O-line since the last championship we won. I mean, I guess I'm just one of them fans that, why can't we get it right? So I'd rather have more than not enough. That's what I'm saying. You right, but I'm just saying we've been building the O-line for like the past 44 years to me. Like,
fans,
I can't take it anymore.
Jets fans feel the same thing about the O-line.
And just think about all the people that you've passed because you've been on the offensive line. You got Schultz. You got Neil, you got Thomas, you know what I mean? So, like, it's not like you haven't been doing that. Like, three of your starters are high draft picks, and Runyon was a draft pick. He was a high-end free agent.
Overall, I'm really happy. Like, I really am really happy. I think we got a whole bunch of keys and tools to build on, and I am looking forward to this season. Like, for the first time, I don't have a headache with one of the sports teams, so I'm very happy with that. So I'm happy overall. So I do agree with those ratings, the B+, maybe even the A-. I'm really happy. And I really do like everybody. They already saying that Neighbors, they feel like he's like Odell. Knock it off. Can you give this man a chance? That's all I'm saying. Give this man a chance.
Well,
he don't have to be crying. He don't have to do all of that stuff like that. Just give him a chance. That's all I'm saying. They're saying that he ain't even want to come here.
Ozell,
give him a chance.
Ozell, Jamar Chase, like, he's that – He's not built like Justin Jefferson. He's built like Jamar Chase and Odell. He's like a 6-foot guy.
Yeah, but they already calling him a diva. We already know wideouts are divas. Like, knock it off. That's what they are. They bring that type of charisma, personality. That's what they are. But they already trying to, like, I don't know. I feel like they're trying to blackball him and compare him too much to Odell, saying he could be a problem. Give this man a chance. That's all I'm saying. Give him a chance to show what he's going to be about.
I don't care what anybody says.
I think it was because of the measurables. You know what I mean? They both 4'3", okay. They're the same size, and he's not like a long, lengthy guy like Marvin Harris or like Justin Jefferson. He's like Jamar Chase, like 6 feet. He's not skinny. He's a guy that's you know well built, so he can break through tackles and stuff like that. That's where the comparisons come through. You know, because of their body type, you know, and their speed. 4'3", 4'3", 4", I think, is Neighbors.
Yeah, always good to hear from you, Tess. Yeah, I wouldn't worry about that kind of stuff. If everybody starts saying, oh, he's going to be just like Odell. And listen, when Odell first got here, he was a spectacular wide receiver who made big plays. And the problem was is that the team just wasn't very good, right? The 1 year they did go to the playoffs, and then, you know, he and a bunch of other guys decided they were going to go to a little banana boat exposition the week before. But Neighbors with Daniel Jones definitely has a chance to come in and be an impactful player. That's what you need to see in Brian Daboll's offense.
I mean, they definitely went to receiver U. Like, if you can trust any receiver from any organization, whether you think about Brian Thomas, you think about Justin Jefferson, you think about Jamar Chase, you think about Odell Beckham, they've been putting out receivers at a high clip. So, you know, I think it's in good company. You hope that he fares like all the other, you know, receivers that have recently come from LSU.
It's amazing to think, though. Was that 10 years ago Odell burst on the scene?
Yeah, maybe longer than that.
God, how could it possibly be that long ago? 800-919-3776. All right, we head into the Power Hour. And to do that, we go back into what you saw Sunday. Knicks fans resonating from Philadelphia, heard all the way up here in New York. Had them in Philly. All these diehard sports town Philadelphia. And you took over the building. Had Embiid complaining. More of that from him. And also answered a question about the Knicks that have been asked all season long. In fact, it's a question that's probably been asked for the last decade. And that question was answered yesterday. What is it? We will tell you. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. Jalen Brunson a monster game. The Knicks a huge Game 4 win down in Philadelphia. Earlier this morning on DiPietro and Rothenberg, Rick and Dave said the Knicks weren't just outworking the Sixers, they were better than the Sixers.
When you have a team like the Knicks and Tibbs that take so much pride in their regular season performance, every game is for them a playoff game. They
right,
want
to
win.
But we said there's nowhere to ratchet it up for the Knicks, right?
Right. Can they get to another level once you hit the postseason? Because now you're not going to, for the most part, shouldn't be able to outwork teams. Everyone's going to be locked in. There's going to be desperation on both sides. You saw in the fourth quarter, clearly a team that wanted it more, and I think it's, you know, probably time that we just accept the fact and enjoy the fact this Knicks team's a good basketball team.
They're really well put together. They have the pieces that fit the puzzle. Can you say the Knicks are more talented than Phoenix? I don't know that you can say that, but it all fits.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up 3 o'clock, it's the Michael K Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.